Yes, here we are. We're back after a hiatus, 2 weeks. It's late in the day and the sun's getting low. It's time for that Stray Cast Bass Fishing Talk Show. I'm your host, Pat Renwick. Welcome back. Welcome back, Bass Galaxy.
Welcome, Bass.
Welcome, Bass. Yes. It's all about the bass. We know that. It's nice to be back here tonight. And I'll tell you, it is this evening's show all about champions. The champion's delight. Give it up, Bass Galaxy. It's champion's delight. Yes. No cabe duda, as they say. And we have for you together, simultaneously at the same time, your St. John's River champion, Brian New. The rookie, Brian New. That's correct. That's correct. And our old buddy, who's your daddy, Bill Lowen. Yeah. Uh-huh. Our old buddy, Bill.
Hashtag new champion.
Hashtag new champion, old pal. Hashtag small tongue, big bass. The hey, man, I'm super excited tonight to be back. And as you are, Bass Galaxy, and everybody knows that Straycast is the place to win things, win stuff. And we got, like, all kinds of prizes tonight. Crazy, crazy prizes. Now, get this. All you have to do is like and share this post. Or this post. Not post. This
the live feed.
What was that? Did the who? This live. That what?
I felt that like, Adam Sandler?
I don't know. I felt like a combination of Heckle and Jekyll and David Letterman or something at the same time. All you have to do is like and share this live Facebook feed, and you have the opportunity to win a bunch of prizes. Here's the first one. A Trail Creek Sims bag. Yep. Gasp and guffaw now, Bass Galaxy. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. A Trail Creek Sims bag. You can keep everything in that. You can keep your spinner bugs. You can keep your soft plastics. You can keep your country, your Western, your rhythm, your blues, everything in there. It's the Sims Trail Creek. Like and share this live Facebook feed. And Jake Haas is going to pick your name at the end of the show. Now get this. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, giant sharks abounding and line and lure prize. That's right. Like and share your chance to win line and lure, bow to stern, and Arma Shield. Keeping you shiny and new.
All right? The juices.
Yeah, keeping you shiny and new, right?
Yeah.
And and all you got to do is like and share the feed. It's that easy. That's like,
I don't know, man. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I know it's a lot of work, Bass Galaxy. It's like $110 worth of prizes tonight for just liking and sharing stuff.
It's like two clicks.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And Largemouth Sass. You know Largemouth Sassy Pants.
Sure.
The line and lure girl. She's coming on at the end of the show to announce the winner of the contest. So look forward to that as well. And that guy, Ryan, what does mine say?
Dude.
What does yours say?
Sweet.
That's exactly. And that dude right there, he's one sweet bass fisherman. He's Ryan Popcorn Whitaker. He's the guy with the
Ramones. Everyone says that.
Yeah, that's the most common thing people say about you. He's sweet.
I'm once.
But a lot of times they say killerly sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Killerly.
Sometimes like they say that guy's fish were dead.
Yeah. He's got
sometimes they say that.
He's got a Ramones shirt on. He's the co-creator of the tightrope baby firework popcorn JP Cornelius Whitaker Utiker. Bob Uecker.
Yes.
The Bob Utiker.
The Bob Utiker.
He's the Bob Popcorn.
See that guy?
Mr. Bob Popcorn Utiker, JP, hi.
Yo.
But it's a lot of names. But how's jig sales?
Good.
At tightropefishing.com.
Strong to quite strong.
Are you a quazillionaire yet?
No.
No?
No, still poor.
You're still poor.
Yeah.
But you
poor and busy, though.
You won a few bucks at the Cal Sag Bass Anglers Derb last week. Congratulations to Ray Lang.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Ray. 17 pounds of
smoked them.
Of Chi-Town. Small jaws.
Dude, won like $2,000 in a 30-boat derby and not $100 bad. Entry.
Cal Sag Bass Anglers, if you are in the Chicagoland area, come take their money. You're not going to find a payout anywhere like it
nah.
in the Cal Sag deal. Ryan Popcorn Whitaker, We do a little thing here. We do a little dance and make a little bass in love.
Does it involve liquid?
It involves brown liquor. Every Wednesday night here on Stray Cast, we have the Tin Cup Luke Foley Whiskey Gypsy Word of the Week. And this week, the word is what, Ryan?
Cavitation.
Cavitation. Yes, I will not say that ever.
You get that?
Nor will a guest. You mean like Cavitron?
You don't like that?
Like Roland Martin's Cavitron buzzbait?
Like when you turn too fast in your boat?
Slow down, you turn too fast.
Yeah. Your prop, you get cavitation, too much air. You know what? Let's just go with Champ.
Champ. How's that? Yeah, Champ's way better.
Champ.
Yeah. Oh, you meant Chime Walk. Okay. Anyway, the word is Champ. If you hear the word Champ, take a sip. Take a sip of your favorite beverage, whether it be a nice frothy Mountain Dew. Or Tin Cup Whiskey, or just Cafe Con Leche. It don't matter. If you hear the word champ, take a sip, and sip responsibly. Here at Stray Cast, have a good time. Tin Cup Whiskey, word of the week, champ. Moving right along, I want to tell you guys about the SCSS. You know what that is? You know what it is?
Stray Cast something.
Yeah. Hey, Ginger Ninja, punk rock producer. Red on the head like an awesome producer should be.
Yeah.
Bass Galaxy. Just whenever I say Andy the Ginger Ninja, give it up for him. I mean, that's a given. Oh. That's a given right there. Give it up for the ninja.
Didn't even give it up for himself.
Shh, don't tell anybody that that's just sound effects.
Oh, yeah.
Whoops. Andrew Ellenberger, the Ginger Ninja. I was keeping you on your toes.
Yeah.
I saw your head down. All I saw was your head.
Busy.
Yeah. You doing things like engineering and producing and stuff?
Yeah, it's good.
The heck out of this place over there?
Yeah, trying to keep you in line.
Over by there. So, Andy, this is right up your alley. I mean, you're a smart guy. You're one of the smartest dudes I know. Like, you're responsible where I'm irresponsible.
I appreciate it.
No, you're a good family man and a good fisherman.
He's got a mortgage, this guy.
Yeah, he's actually got a mortgage. I just fly by the seat of my pants, and boy, are my pants tired. But I don't know. But, hey, Ginge, so we're talking about the SCSCSS. You know what that is? It's the Stray Cast Stimulus Check.
Oh, okay.
Spending Suggestions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a new plan, and I'm not going to steer you wrong. I know how to spend.
There's a lot.
I know how to spend on bass and goods.
Yeah.
I promise you.
Yeah.
It's the SCSCSS, the Stray Cast Stimulus Check.
Right.
Spending Suggestions, Andy. And the first thing that I want to suggest to you is OmniaFishing.com. Go shopping. Here's what you go shopping for. Right there at Omnia right now, they have the Ichikawa. Say it with me. Ichikawa.
Ichikawa.
Say I like saying
Ichikawa.
Ichikawa.
Ichikawa. They have the Ichikawa hooks that are over 100 years in the making of Japanese technology.
Really? It's something.
100 years of hooks. The Ichikawa hook. Also, I am super excited about the 5 years in the making of the new Klun plugs. Give it up for Ichikawa. They are over at OmniaFishing.com.
Yeah.
Check them out. Go shopping. Tell them Stray Cast sent you. Over there. Over by there.
Also, a lot of fishing reports over by coming in.
So. Yeah. Check out.
It's season time.
So. Yeah, wherever your lake is in the area. Ginge, I know you were just scoping a little St. Clair, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were peek, sneak. Yeah. I saw what you were doing.
It might be happening real soon.
Yeah, feller's been out there doing it.
Hey, get this, guys. Miracles keep happening on Stray Cast, and we have a brand new business partner. And that is
800-588-2300.
What's that, Rye?
That's Empire Carpets.
But it's not Empire Carpets. It's Empire Covers.
Empire Covers.
Empire Covers.
Yeah.
If you're from the Chicagoland area, you know Empire Today. I don't know if that's nationwide or whatever. Nope. But
I think so.
But
it's on Wayne's World.
Yeah, it is. Party time. Excellent.
Yeah.
So Empire Today. Empire Covers is a new deal that we have here at Stray Cast. They're a new business associate, and they make covers for everything. Whether it's for, they do. I mean, they got you cover it up, buddy. You know what I mean? So they boat covers, custom covers, standard covers, car covers. Ryan, you know that hot rod muscle car?
Sure.
That you've been dreaming of?
The Trans Am with the Gold Eagle?
Yeah. You know, when you listen to Billy Squire in the high school parking lot?
Yes.
That one. They got covers for it. Okay. EmpireCovers.com if you want a cover for anything. Even a moped. They got covers for everything. Bass boats, John boats, luxury liners. Hey, you scratch my anchor.
Kayaks?
Kayaks. EmpireCovers.com. Put in StrayCast as a code. Get 15 off. Yeah, 15 off. Not bad. You're buying a cover. There it is. Boom. Hey, everybody has been talking about this. It's pretty cool because everybody in Bassin already drinks Mountain Dew on the water, right? I mean, it's pretty much a given. We even fizz our fish with it and do stuff. And we, what do you do that? We coagulated Matt Robertson the other day.
Coagulated?
Yeah, we coagulated him. Yeah, he put a hook in his hand. We were filming that proper Bassin Man show, and then Fighter snatched.
Cauterized?
Yeah, no, he coagulatized it. Yes. he coaxial rosed it. Yes. Yeah. Mountain Dew, everybody drinks it already. Here's the deal. Look, when you're buying 12 packs, specially marked, look for this little deal right there, the gold can. You find the gold can in a specially marked 12 pack, and your opportunity to win 10 fully rigged bass boats, or win one of 10 chances for 10 fully rigged bass boats, or 40 Mountain Dew fun packs. That's right. Look for the specially marked 12 packs and do hookthebigone.com for more information. Moving right along, where are we?
I want that gold can back, by the way.
This we tried it already. We tried to redeem it. The redemption bar has already been fingerprint filed off of this thing. Yeah, we tried to get one of the 10 boats already. It didn't work. But anyway, 10 bass boats or 40 Mountain Dew fun packs. Do hookthebigone.com for more information. Moving right along. Hey, if you haven't had a chance to check out the MX-21, check out the new Crestliner in the virtual boat show, CrestlinerBoats.com. And last but not least, you want your trolling motor to look cool? Soup it up with some TH Marine products. Hot foots. Get on the hot foot or the G-Force trolling motor handle or hub. Hey, I think we got it all. I know the Bass Galaxy wants to hear from Bill Lowen and Brian New. Put the power poles down. We're coming back with the champs. See you in a minute.
This is the mountain, and this is Mountain Whiskey. Unspoiled, untamed, forever wild. There's no safety net, no way down. Up here, it's just man and the mountain and his tin cup. Tin Cup Whiskey. Mountain Whiskey. Nobody wants to run out of power when they're on the water. There is a better way. Introducing the Charge Marine Power Management Station from PowerPole that does the work of three devices, a traditional battery charger, a charge on the run, and an emergency start system, PowerPole Charge.
Take pride in your boat, so it deserves the best protection possible. Our durable woven fabric prevents ripping and provides UV protection, and our tape seams provide protection against the elements. The heavy-duty shock cord hem and strap and buckle system provide a tight and secure fit. Our top-of-the-line boat covers come with a ventilation system to keep your boat free from mold buildup. Empire Covers, protecting what you love.
The TH Marine HydroWave H2 KVD Edition is a surefire way to ignite a feeding frenzy. The HydroWave utilizes a sound-emitting technology that imitates baitfish and other feeding fish below the surface that preys on the competitive nature of bass and other game fish to get you more bites. The HydroWave is another way that TH Marine has you covered from transom to trolling motor.
Here we go, Bass Galaxy. The moment you've been waiting for. It is time for the Champion's Delight. And we give you, first off, your St. John's River champion, Brian New. And also, a long time coming, our champion, our pal, Billy Lowen. The Pickwick Derb Champ, Bassmaster Elite Series Champions. Guys, welcome to the show. What's going on?
What's up? Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, it's Bill and Brian on one show in two different cars simultaneously at the same time. What's that's nuts.
Oh, I'm looking at Google Earth.
I see you're conspiring on something, Brian New. You know, there's no rest for you bass fishermen, especially our recent champions. You've had a chance to settle a little, Brian. But Bill, you look exhausted, Bill Lowen.
Dude, it's been crazy. I mean, it has been nonstop, wide open since last Tuesday. I don't even know what day it is, but I'm enjoying it though. It was well worth the wait, and maybe looking forward to it again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know both of you guys are looking forward to it again. You know, it's like getting laid just once. You know, that don't work. You know what I mean? It's, I mean, it's, you got to, you know what I mean? That's all I can leave it right there. But I mean, the blue trophy eluded you for how many years, Bill? You had so well, I watched you as a buddy with so many seconds and fourths and it finally happened, man.
It's been so too long. I don't want to talk about it.
And then you get a guy like Brian New, and he just comes out. He's like, he does a little Babe Ruth, and he points to center field with his bat, and he's like,
he's just like, y'all just get out of my way. I'm going to show you how this is done real quick, and then I'll just let somebody else.
I wish it was that easy.
I mean, and let's not overlook any of this. Being a Bassmaster Elite Series champion is a big deal, man. It's like, it's 4 days of agony and just grinding your mind. How's that? Is that a good way to put it? Grinding your mind for 4 days straight.
I think that's the best way to put it. I mean, it's hard enough to have fish for one day, let alone 4 days. I mean, everybody that tournament fish knows exactly what I'm talking about. So everybody knows it's a grind.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like you practice, but then tournament comes around, you got to go practice again. I mean, you might have something for a day or so, but heck, Pickwick, like, hey, congratulations, dude. Like I said before that tournament, like I had a bad practice, but I was excited because everybody was going to be on an even playing field. And it was like, if I was on the outside looking in, that would have been the most awesome tournament to watch and follow the whole year.
Yeah, because
it was.
Everybody scraps everything. First day of the tournament, everybody's going practicing. And that was a fun event.
Unique.
Definitely. 100%. Congratulations on that. You you did a good practice there.
Yeah, that's thank right. you, buddy. And you did earlier champ this champ. Year as well. And you know, we may never see another event like that where it gets totally scrapped and we got to start over again, but you're right, it was fun, and I'll take it any way I can get it.
That's right, man. That's right. Both of you, I could tell you party like that, both of you. I mean, I know. And what a unique derby that was, Brian. You're right. I mean, that's a historical Bass event, just the changing conditions and everything you guys went through. And I don't know how you guys do it. I was there for the whole deal, from the practice to the end, and I was exhausted, and I didn't throw a line in the water. Like, I don't see how you do it. Then add the mental anguish of making tournament decisions, and then ultimately the anguish to success of making the correct decisions to win. I mean, that's a lot, dude. That's a lot. I ask you both this question. What, after your win, was there a collapse point? Was there like a, just like a, you know how when you let the air out of an air mattress? Was there any of those kind of points? Go ahead, Brian. Was there a deflation period for you after the victory?
Well, Bill knows exactly what I'm talking about, because look, for the way it went for me, like, he's not there yet, I don't think. Because I win the tournament, and from that point, that was on Sunday. We started practicing the following Monday, I believe, at Loudoun Teleco. And until Sunday evening, Sunday afternoon, that was the collapsing point. Like, it was actually Saturday, because I had all this stuff scheduled, and I told my wife, I said, I'll do one thing Sunday and that's it. I'll do everything any hour of the day until then. But, you know, I've got to switch gears and focus on this next tournament.
Back to work.
And, it was literally me and her both, from daylight till way after dark, every day until Sunday. We were constantly on the phone, booking stuff, interviews. It was crazy. And really, like, it was so busy, didn't really have a chance to, like, I mean, I don't want to say I didn't, like, sit back and enjoy, like, hey, I won this tournament, because I did, but, like, you were so busy. But then Sunday evening, when I get into to the house at Loudoun Teleco and just kind of started relaxing a little bit, like, that's kind of when it hit me. It was like, dude, I really just did this.
It happened. And so, Bill, are you there? I mean, have you?
I think Brian's right. I am not there yet, because since I've weighed in on Tuesday, and that's, what is that now? That's a week and one day from today. It's been wide open. I mean, as of right now on the schedule, I have been booked every single day up till today. And I believe after this deal, I got one deal in the morning. And then, as far as I know, to my knowledge, that's about it. But I haven't had that, like, sit down, think about it. I'm getting goosebumps on my legs just talking about it. Just to kind of take it all in, man. It still feels like a dream. I do remember, you know, you talk about that adrenaline rush we ride on. And that night after we won, we went to dinner. We ended up going to Texas Roadhouse, get a steak. It come to the table. The adrenaline was gone. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even really remember dinner. You know what I mean? I remember there was a couple guys in there that seen me and come up, wanted pictures and things like that, which were so cool. But I was like, the adrenaline was gone. It was like, wow, this just happened. But yeah, I mean, just for example, you know, when I got back to the room Tuesday night or whatever night that was, I had like 250 text messages on my phone. And like, dude, I didn't even know I knew 250 people. You know what I mean? I literally made sure that I answered every one of those text messages before I went to bed, because I had no idea, dude, that I had so many fans and so many people that are truly watching what I do, that I felt like they deserve to get a response back. And yeah, so I tried to stay up and make sure that I did that. And like I said, man, it's been wide open ever since. And yeah, I'm waiting for that day that I can just sit back. Hopefully it'll be like Saturday before the Sabine River, and just eat some crawfish and kick back and relax.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
so I've got to ask you this. Have you went back and watched, like, the winning moment or any of your footage?
You know, it's been hard not to watch any of that. It's like everywhere I turn, it's there. It's just like, wow, this is amazing. But I tell you what I really, I mean, I've seen all that on my fish catches and all that, but what I'm like want to watch is like how y'all guys caught them. You know what I mean? And it's crazy to see like Johnson catching all those fish, all those dots, you know, and I was fishing above him and below him. And it's like, how did you miss that dock? You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like,
we saw those docks. Those were good too.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see what I missed. You know what I mean? Yeah, man, it's really cool to actually go back and see that footage and watch how it all went down. I mean, if you could write out the perfect tournament scenario, game plan, the decisions you make, I mean, for whatever reason, man, it just went perfectly, and pretty cool to go back and be able to watch it all.
You missed that on everyone else, dude.
I'm definitely going to admit, I'm not ashamed to do it. I went back and watched the stuff from me winning a lot.
Yes, of course. And
it's just like, I mean, it's so, for me, I mean, I've been fishing a long time competitively, but like to start fishing the Opens for the first time last year and then come in and the first elite event, like it's just, it blows my mind that I've done what I have and it doesn't even feel real. And like now, you know, you've been on tour for several years, like you dealt with it before, but like it just feels so crazy that people come up to me and know who I am, and it's just like, it's so weird. And I mean, I don't really consider myself any better than anybody else, and I still don't, but it's like other people do, and it's like it's just weird. I mean, it's a good thing, I guess, but like I put my pants on just like everybody else, and it's just crazy that it's crazy for people to feel, you know, think the way they do about
wins $100,000 in a Bassmaster Elite Series Derby either, so you got a few things going for you guys.
I've
definitely been blessed, but so kind of go back to Pickwick for a second. So
Brian's loving this. I'm loving this. Keep going, like, Brian.
So I found one thing in practice, and it was a little patch of grass. I mean, it was a lot of grass, but it was like one spot in the grass, and they were there. And the first, obviously, I knew that those fish are not going to be there. So I'm like, where are they going to go? So I pull up. There's two places they can go. They can go to the bank right behind a little point, or they can go to this island out in the middle. So I go to the bank, nothing. And then I just started going practicing. Well, guess what? This little island, two guys sat on it for 3 days, and they were second and third for 3 days, and I never went to it.
But it's all about, like, decisions, you know?
Yeah, it is crazy because, like, after I left where I started, where I thought, you know, the bank that I thought they may have went to, I looked over at that island, and I said, I need to check that at some point in the day. And it was late. I mean, it was fairly late in the day by the time I got back up to that point. And I look over, and there's Pipkins and Corey. I was like, well, they're there. I'm not going to go there. And, like, it's still on my mind because I was wanting to go there. It wasn't – that was before I ever even seen anybody there. So I considered maybe going there the second day, and I'm running down the lake, and they're already there. So I just kind of write it off at that point. It was like, yes, I had the thought of going there before I ever knew anybody was there. And it was pretty big. It wasn't like it was a one caster. I would have been on top of anybody if I would have pulled in there. But I just kind of at that point felt like it wasn't right for me to go over there. So I just kind of went and done my thing. I mean, I had two good first 2 days. And then the third day, just I didn't practice enough is what happened. I got stuck on the last 2 days.
It's so awesome to hear you say what you just said, because to me, that's how the game should be played.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we get so caught up in it that we want to get bit so bad that sometimes you just show up where maybe you shouldn't show up. And to hear you say that know that you want to play the game that way, dude, that's awesome, because that's the way I've always played the game, almost sometimes to the point where it hurts me, dude, because I will not come in on somebody. I mean, if I've already been fishing there, I'm all good with that, but I'm definitely – without a doubt, not going to come in on somebody.
That's proper bassing, guys. And you go. And
that's
you
right. Both We've talked it. About that so many times on this show. Yeah. I mean, like I said, man, that's the way the game should be played.
Yeah.
And I mean, like at the end of the day, like obviously, there's way more stuff that's good, and you just have to do it. Like you can't you can't cut somebody's throat. I mean, going to a tournament, obviously we want to win, but realistically, we want to make a living. You get a top 50, you've done good. I mean, you've like performance wise, you've done good, but financially, you've done pretty good also. So
it's kind of back good up. Way to put like, it.
Like, don't you? I just it is sad, and I'm not saying that everybody or even a lot of people are like it, but it's sad to see the kind of the way that fishing has become somewhat the last 6 or 7 years. People just don't care. Like, it's all about me. Screw you. It's all about me.
Well, they forget it's about the bass. They forget about the bass, Brian. They forget why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the unsettling part.
Yeah. And you just, like, I don't care what you're doing in life. You got to treat people right. You can't screw somebody because that's what you're doing. I mean, if they're there, they're there.
You made the right decision, yeah. and it'll pay off for you, man. I mean, no doubt about it. And Pickwick was a wild animal.
Absolutely, it was definitely wild.
and that was
unreal.
So with that being said, let's do tournaments in a nutshell. You guys have talked about your victories, Bill. How many times have you talked about your victory in the last week?
4,378.
4,379. Now, we're going to do a variation of talking about your derby. And I know since you won, Brian, that you've talked about your victory on St. John's a gazillion times too. And we're going to do victory in a nutshell. And what this allows both of you guys to do is interject on each other's victories. And I'll give you key words, and you elaborate on them in regards to your victory. So I'll give you keywords, and you talk about these keywords and how they relate to your victory. You get what I'm saying, guys?
Yep. All
right, it's victory in a nutshell. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yes! I love it. It's victory in a nutshell. Straight cast style with the champs. Boom. All right. Ryan, we'll start with St. John's. What do you think? And Bill, you interject on any of this too. This is about Brian's victory. Hold on. I'm going to give you a word, okay. Brian. I'm going to give you a word. And the word is Florida gets me. Florida gets me. That's a statement. Florida gets me. What do you think that means to you?
I fished tournaments in Florida like one or two times every year since probably 2012. And the first 3 or 4 years, like, I did terrible always. And that kind of goes back to my co-angler days also. Like, I was starting out fishing as co-angler down there. And pretty much most tournaments, big tournaments in Florida, are around the Spawn.
Yep, always, right?
And so really the last three tournaments that I've had in Florida, I finished first, and sixth, but sixth was actually really second, but I was 4 minutes late the first day, so I had a four-minute penalty.
So you had two dubs in the deuce.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
I mean, Florida gets you. You get Florida at this time.
It does. But it's all around the Spawn. To me, it's all about finding an area. You find an area, that's all you need, because you just go fishing in that area. And honestly, one or two bites, or well, I would say two plus bites, can be a good practice.
Okay.
Because that tournament that I finished sixth in, I had two bites in this area, and that was the best thing I had from practice. So I went there, and I caught them.
Oh, there it is. Florida gets you. Florida gets you. Hey, back on St. John's, bars and war pigs. Bars and warp, and we're not talking about Black Sabbath and metal bars. We're talking about
lots of bass as well. There's lots of bass involved with
lots of bass.
So, like, again, practice was not good. Like, the first day of practice there, I had two bites, and they were on a shell bar. The second day of practice, I had three bites. Two of them were on the shell bar, and one was flipping in Jacksonville. And the third day, I had a handful of bites, flipping pads in, like Dexter, I think it's called. What it was below where I wound up catching them. Dexter. So we get that big fog delay, and I knew it was tough. And I had shell bars within 5-6 miles of the ramp coming back. So I knew I could run down there, try the pad thing. If it didn't work, give myself, 30, 45 minutes, I'm probably going to catch a few bass. And I go all the way to what I thought was the best stretch, and I catch one 12-incher. And I come back up a little bit where I actually wound up catching them the last few days, and I caught little ones, and I lost two. So I get back. I've got 22 minutes to be back, and I'm 5 or 6 miles away. The first cast, I caught number four. The next cast, I missed one. And a couple casts later, I catch number five, and I've got to go. That's it. So without those shell bars, I don't win that tournament because I gained 5 to 6 pounds with those two fish the first day.
Those are your crutches.
And I don't make the cut. Like, total weight-wise, you can take those away, and I still win, but I don't make the cut without those, whatever it was, 5 or 6 pounds. And then the second and third day, I started on those bars, and I don't really know why. Well, I know the second day I did because it was so easy the first afternoon. And then, I didn't know how good the pad thing was going to be because it wasn't that great. I wasn't in the exact right area yet.
So that was like the deal where you were talking about a couple bites in Florida can equate to giant success.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Why do you think that, like, my question to you is, okay, the pads in the wood is where the Demogorgons were, and then the little stragglers were on the bars. But why didn't it end up, it could have ended up vice versa too, right? Or, well, you knew the big ones would go to the pads in the wood, but how come, what do you think, the big ones had just already left those bars?
Either that or, I'm sure they probably live on those things when they're not spawning. I think. I don't know. I don't have enough experience in Florida like that. But I could catch 12 to 14 pounds like really easy. And that was it. So the last day I didn't even go to it because, one, I'm 5.5 pounds behind, and two, 14 pounds is not going to do me any good. So that's why I abandoned it the last day.
And dude, as far as answering the question. Oh, go ahead, Brian. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
As far as answering the question of why there wasn't big ones on the bars, I don't know. But now I will say, the bars that I was fishing were 45 miles north of the spawning fish that I was catching on the pad. So that could absolutely have, a factor to do with that.
Dude, in that last day when you swung, that you said something like, I was just saying I didn't like it. And then you swung that bigs in the boat. Like, you were talking about watching the game day tape. How many times did you watch that swing right there? I mean,
I don't know. I've watched it a lot. I do a lot of idling in practice and stuff. I get bored. I get bored. I listen to music. I listen to Pandora and stuff. But every now and again, that gets old, and I just man, I suck. I don't know what I'm doing. And this is God's honest truth. I've had a lot of success. I've been very blessed to have that. But there's so many times that I just, practice or whatever's going so bad, I truly 100% in my heart truly believe that I have zero clue what I'm doing. I have absolutely no business fishing the Elite Series or any tournament for that matter. And then when I get to feeling like that, I can kind of look back at that and it kind of gives me a little motivation, oh, you did it once. Maybe you can do it again.
What do you think about that, Lowen? What do you think about what he just said?
I think that this is a prime example of bass fishermen think they know everything, and we don't know nothing. What that boils down to, you know?
I agree.
Yeah. The fish are way smarter than us, and their brains are only this big. Not maybe. Absolutely. Not that.
Well, God give them a tail and fins for a reason. Yeah. So they can swim away from us, you know?
No doubt. Yeah. Hey, Bill, let's do Pickwick in a nutshell. You ready? I'll make this painful.
Oh, yeah. I'm so ready.
We're going to make this. Yeah, we're going to make this painless for you. I promise.
I doubt it.
True or false, practice was a blast.
False.
Why?
You know, it was, I like having targets to throw at.
Okay.
And the lake was down like a foot below winter pool, which I think is 6 or 7 foot low. So yeah, man, there's really not a lot of stuff in the water to throw at.
You saw and those reeds and fish, out of the water and you were like, oh no.
Every single fish that I caught, last week, I caught it off a cover that was completely dry. I mean, the only thing that was in those trees and those reeds was birds and frogs. I mean, if you wanted to go play in that stuff, you had to park the boat on the shore and walk up there with your boots on. So I had a couple little areas right there, some offshore stuff on some grass and some isolated underwater stumps and things like that, that I was planning on fishing. Well, you know, kind of like Brian was saying, when that big flood came in and blew all that out, these fish only had two places to go, and thank God, the first morning of the event, I landed right on top of those fish and was very fortunate to get a couple bites really quick to keep my head screwed on straight. You know what I mean? That's so much about fishing, is keeping your head screwed on straight and staying confident in what you're doing. And like I said, I was very blessed to land right on them and get a really good limit really quick. So that just let me settle down and do my deal.
There it is. And here's the next one. There ain't at the island. We better hunt them down.
Right? I mean,
they ain't at Gilligan's Island.
Well, I mean, I've been asked so many times this week of like, how did you pull the plug on your primary area so fast? I mean, for everybody that was watching, I think it took me about 30 or 40 minutes to decide, hey, dude, this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Your stuff's getting dry. It's time to pull the troll motor up and bail. And I think the reason I made that decision so fast is, you know, I hate to always keep bringing up the Ohio River, but I grew up fishing the Ohio River in those same exact conditions, floods. And I literally fished Lake Pickwick just like I would fish the Ohio River when it's flooded.
Nice.
So to me, it was just, I mean, I've done this all my life. So to pick the troll motor up and start running what I thought I needed to run, you know, which was cover with a little bit of deeper water on it, which ended up being bluff swings and docks, you know, stuff that still had that 4 or 5 foot of water on it that those fish are going to gravitate to when that water starts to fall. I mean, for me, it was second nature. And had I not, you know, experienced that type stuff my whole life, I would probably done what I always do, think I could just stay there and grind it out. Well, I listened to my gut for once, finally, and I just went fishing and put my head down.
Yeah, you did. And I saw you. You were like, oh, look, wood and docks. And
right.
you were like, yeah. Yay, back home. Here I go. Yep.
That's exactly. What,
and that was a perfect example of winning with your comfort zone. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like,
yeah, and you know what? That makes the win all so much sweeter to do it in my style, my fashion. You know what I mean? I'm not saying I wouldn't have loved to win my first event on a drop shot in 30 foot of water, but to win it with a big stick in my hand, fishing the way that I love to fish, I mean, I couldn't ask for anything any better.
So why was the jig in the Texas rig the answer? Like, obviously, you tried to wind something at them first, and it didn't happen, or did you find that drop bait was better?
I figure out I can get bit on a flipping stick, man, you're going to have to pry it out of my hands. So the whole key there this week was, you know, we had a tremendous amount of current. And I went with a 3/8 ounce jig, my Lure Parts Online Signature Series jig. And with that 3/8 ounce, what that allows me to do, same way I fish back at home, but at home I use a 5/16 ounce weight, okay, on my jig. So what that allows you to do is let that current blow that jig through the cover instead of, you know, using a 1/2 or a 5/8 where it's going to go down into the cover and kind of get wedged up. So simply by using that 3/8 allows that jig to float through the current, look like a shad or a crawfish naturally getting washed through there. And you just get yourself a lot more bites. Same deal with the docks. I'd let that pitch that jig up there and let the current blow it under the dock, you know, and just making very little bottom contact and literally just floating it through there. The other deal I had was flipping some reeds. You know, I was using a Strike King rodent with a 5/16 ounce rain tungsten weight on it, and just making, you know, fast presentations to the reeds, covering a lot of water. I was shocked at how fast those fish moved up and got up there in that, you know, foot and a half to 2 foot of water. I truly believe that if the water would have stayed up, those fish would have actually went up there and started spawning, because I caught a lot of big fish this week with bloody tails. And a lot of times I pitch in there and catch the female, make the exact same pitch and catch the male. You know, when them two fish are together like that, they're only up there for one reason.
Loving.
Making love.
Loving. That's yeah. Right. So, hey, tell me about that jig you're throwing there, Bill. You like that compact jig. And what is this so special about that Lure Parts Online jig?
You know, like I said, it's my signature series flipping jig from them. And it is a tried and true basic Arky style flipping jig, you know, which is everybody loves the Arky style. It comes through cover extremely well. So we have just taken that Arky style and we modified it up and put, you know, crawled ad grooves in it. We put a metal keeper on it for your chunk, and a great weed guard. What I wanted is a jig that when you got it out of the package, you didn't have to do anything to it. You know, I mean, guys like trimming on their weed guards and everything. I tell everybody, when you get that jig out of the package, don't mess with it, man. Leave it the way it is. Don't do anything. It's ready to fish. And I wanted that jig to have a more of a weight forward design. So when you pitch it in there, it goes straight down instead of gliding off to the side.
Gotcha.
So it's got a lot of characteristics that I wanted in a jig. What's really cool is we make that jig from an 1/8 ounce all the way up to a 1/2.
Really?
And I'm thinking that we're going to have 5/8 coming here really soon. So
they all have the same hook size, or do you give a
you know, it's that's the other thing that's cool with Lure Parts Online. When you call up and order the head you want, you know, you can get that jig with kind of like whatever hook you want in it. You know what I mean? Like my 3/8, you can get it with a, I believe it's a 4/0 or a 5/0. The 1/2 ounce is the same way. Quarter, you can get it with a 2/0 or a 3/0. So you can almost kind of custom build exactly what you want. And that's nice. The cool thing with Lure Parts Online. Awesome. You know, they're a components company, so you can build exactly what you want, color wise, hook size, head weight, and at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you got about $3 invested in a high quality jig, whereas if you go out and try to buy one at the store, you know, you're looking at $5 or $6.
Yeah.
Well, with that being said, what size hook are you throwing on your 3/8?
There you go.
I am a big fan of a 4/0. I throw a 4/0 in my 3/8 and my 1/2 ounce. I've never been a fan of a big old giant hook, and I know guys say that I'm nuts, but all I know is when I use that 4/0, 99% of the time they're pinned right in the roof of the mouth, right between the eyes. And where else do you want it to get hooked at? You know what I'm saying?
Right there. Right in the hogging. Yeah.
I just love that 4/0 size. I've just never been a fan of a 5/0 hook at all.
Brian uses a 7/0.
Yeah.
He probably uses an 8.
So a lot of times I do try to use the biggest hook I can get away with. But there's times, I mean, hook size is definitely a big thing, whether, like, if I trim my skirt up and I want a small compact jig with, like, maybe a small salty chunk, that then I want, like, a 3 or a 4/0 hook. But if I'm throwing, like, a bigger profile and, like, with a, you know, a big salty chunk or a Z-crawl or something, then I like, that's when I like the 5/0. And another thing is it depends on what you're fishing. Like, a lot of times a 5/0 hook will get hung up bad in brush, and where a 4/0 will come through it a lot easier.
So when you guys go to the Sabine, throw 9/0 because there's bull sharks.
No.
There's bull sharks in the Sabine.
I might go down to like a number 1.
There you go.
Hey, Bill, dude, Team Scream, my favorite. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little heads bobbing around.
I did. What's up, Nev? How you doing?
We had to leave the camper because we have horrible reception. So we're like those guys in the parking lot right now, stealing Wi-Fi, being all creepy.
I like it. Yeah.
I know, but we got the whole family's here. Fisher's down at the lake fishing. I think they're getting cold. They're all trying to get in the truck. So, yeah, you got to have whole team scream here in a minute.
That's awesome, man. And Bill, you, I want to take this opportunity right now to thank you for the support that you've shown us all the way back to the Bass Buzz Radio days, man. It's we've got to watch your career, and it's been amazing, man. And thank you for the support you've shown.
Well, it's been awesome to be part of it and watch you guys start out from basically from ground zero to what you are now. And it just keeps getting better and better with you guys every year.
Zero's at ground zero. That's what we.
Yeah, I mean, it keeps getting funnier all the time. And I seen the deal you put up last night. And I had a cowboy hat on, and Brian was riding the bus. I don't know. I don't know where y'all come up with it.
It's just the creativity of the bass fishing world. And Bill, I want to go way back, man. And I had a very special phone message that I had on, and I just lost it because my iPhone got drenched at the treacherous Pickwick. But it was your son always used to accidentally dial me all the time. Fisher would
really?
Just it would just and then he'd be and then all of a sudden, oh, he'd look at him and be like, oh, sorry, Pat, and then just hang up the phone. And I would have these messages saved, and it's just you and your boy. I got one of you guys singing, and I got it's amazing, and it's in the iCloud somewhere, and I got to find it and send it to you. And I was hoping to have it tonight, but it's the most amazing thing of you and Fisher just. And this is going back like, I don't know, how old's Fisher now?
Nine?
He had to be like three or something, dude.
Heck, it may have been the Vea. Hard telling.
Yeah. I'll find it and send it to you guys. But, man, I just want to tell you, Bill, how happy we are that you won, dude. I mean, really.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. It's been. Wow. It's been an amazing week. And like I said before, man, I haven't had that opportunity yet to really, truly do a social media post and thank everybody for the continued support over the years. And I'm just blown away and still in shock of, you know, people are paying attention to what you're doing, but I had no idea that I had truly had the fan base that I had. And I'll never be able to thank them enough for sticking with me all these years and watching me grow in my career. And I still can't put it into words. It still feels like a dream.
You're a bass man's bass man.
You know, right?
And Bill, like you said earlier, you said you loved that you were able to win, like doing what you like to do.
Right.
I mean, that's the same for the fans, man. When I'm sitting there watching Bill Lowen flip a jig in muddy water, a shell of cover, it's like,
you're like,
it's like vintage bass, like my favorite bass fishing to watch.
And that's
ever.
And Bill has been an Elite Series angler since its spawned.
2006, right?
Yeah, since it spawned.
Yeah, 2006.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like you had a couple, you were right there at the first season, couple fourth placers, I think, right? The first.
Yeah, I believe so. I'll never forget my rookie year, at Rayburn. I think I finished fourth and had a legitimate shot to win that one. I don't remember. I think Greg Hackney may have won that, but I lost to date, the biggest fish I've ever had on, somewhere between, I'd say it was over 12 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
I had Bob Seely in the boat with me that does all the big bass deals.
Yeah.
On Rayburn and all that. And, you know, he said, you know, I had that fish on a swim jig. Now this is going back before I swam my jig on braid. So that fish comes up, eats my jig. I set the hook on her and she cuts the line, right? And the water's clear with fear. And so instead of her swimming away like they normally do, she swims right up to the boat and right down the gunwale. And if I'd have had a net, I could have reached down there and scooped her up.
Oh, my gosh.
And Bob Seely looks at me, right? And he says, Bill, you just lost the tournament. Like, this is like an hour into the first morning of the tournament.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, just right. Let's talk about that plating.
I dumped that fish, and I dumped like 2 sixes in a row, and I still think I weighed in 23 or 24. I don't know the exact weight that day, but, you know, to be in my second career tournament, it was like, I'm like freaking out, ready to puke. But yeah, I mean, there's been so many stories like that, over my career that it just feels really good to finally get that blue trophy.
Heck yeah, you did. And Brian knew you as well, man. And again, we read all about the victories on Bassmaster.com. I read another, amazing view on the Bass Blaster, and now it's kind of time to to get to know you champions. A little what makes a champion? I want to know what makes Brian New a champion and what makes you, Bill Lowen, a champion. So I got some, you guys got to put your thinking caps on now. Or are you ready? This is the champion's delight.
Yeah. I will back up for just a second, though.
Oh, go ahead, Brian.
You said your rookie year was 2006.
Yeah.
I was 16 years old, and I fished my first BFL as a co-angler in 2006.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yep. My. And Bill, that was so Bill's. You were 16 as a co in FLW, and Lowen was first year on the elites.
Oh, right? Man.
Exactly.
And now
time flies.
And now you're both.
It does.
And now you both got blue trophies.
We do. And they're beautiful.
Unreal.
They're so beautiful.
Unreal. You ever polish it? Just have fun polishing it sometimes.
I actually haven't really got to see mine much. I've been on the road for a while.
I just put mine in a cardboard box and stuck it back in the corner.
Yeah, keep it preserved. Keep it preserved.
Yeah.
One time we were with Aaron and he's like, just pulling stuff off like off the shelves in his garage. He's like, "Oh, here's a 100-pound belt. Here's a Century Club belt." And he's like, "Oh, here's Bill. Don't keep that up there too long. I'm sure you'll have that out there." Hey, let's see what makes a champion. Are you ready? Are you guys ready? This is the deal. All right, you hear it? This is serious. You can hear when like that detective, Pulp Fiction music goes that it's serious business, Bill Lowen. You know what I mean? All right. Look at you. Look at you, Bill. I see the
camera. Hey, I've been here before. I know how this could go.
No, we
could go really good or really bad.
I'm being very well behaved tonight, especially since there's children involved. I promise.
All right.
I promise. So here's the deal. Champions overcome obstacles, right? Because if you don't, you're not a champion.
Absolutely. All right?
100%. I ask both of you gentlemen, what is the biggest obstacle that you have ever overcome in life? And that you have ever overcome in bass fishing? And I ask you first, Bill Lowen.
Man, that's so hard to answer. It seems like everything I've ever done in my life's been a grind. I guess for me, the biggest obstacle would be to keep my head on straight and keep chasing that dream. You know what I mean? It's so easy. And anything you do that when you're struggling and things aren't going your way to pull the plug and bail out, you know what I mean? I've had so many things happen in my life, you know what I mean, with my friends that have passed away and his parents helping me chase my dream. And it's even though I've had so many things happen, there's always been so many good things that follow that. For me to be able to be sitting here talking to you tonight and I guess the biggest obstacle for me is just to have been strong enough, mentally strong enough, and have the support, you know, not only from the people that have helped me, but my family and my fans, and just to be able to keep my head screwed on straight and stay after it year after year after year, living my dream. Because look, I mean, I'm blessed every day to do what I do for a living, support my family. There's a million people waiting in line to take my job or, live their dream. And I never take it for granted. But the biggest obstacle for me, like I said, is just to be able to keep at it and never give up, never pull the plug. So that would have to be it for me.
Well said. Well said, Bill. And you didn't, and you persevered and you got the dub, man. How about you, Brian? What's the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome in life? And then
just like, oh man, I'm with Bill. It's hard. Obviously, I mean, every one of us has had bad things happen in our life. And, I don't know. That was a few years ago, right before I met my wife. I was kind of in a bad place. Like, what was it like doing bad things? I was just in a bad place. I was somewhat depressed as things wasn't going good. I hated my job. It's just everything. And then I met my wife and like, it's a fairy tale. I mean, like that sounds funny and all, but like for real, like my life's been a fairy tale ever since then. Like I've done really good fishing since I met her. It just like the joy her and my daughter Braylon have brought out. brought into my life is definitely, I mean, winning a blue trophy is awesome, but it ain't nothing like that. But as far as like fishing wise, I think probably like financial stuff. Like, dude, like I remember, and this is a true story, and I hate myself for it, but it's a good story. So my dad bought me a Browning 37 mag when I was in high school. It was like $1,000 gun. I was big into deer hunting back then. And,
okay.
Like I'm fishing a BFL as a co-angler, broke as a convict. Like I worked and I made, I don't know, $150 a week. And, but I was broke as a convict. I didn't have the money to make it to this tournament. And I sold that gun for like $200.
Wow.
And I regret that so much because, you know, my dad passed away a few years ago. And, I would do anything to have that gun back. I would pay anything to have that gun back. I've tried to track it down. I can't find it and it's gone. But what I was getting at is like, you know, money, and money's not everything. Don't get me wrong. That's not what life's about. It's not about money, but it takes a lot of money to do this. I mean, we have $45,000 in entry fees. We have an $80,000 bass boat, you know, $30,000+ truck that it takes just to do it, plus all your equipment. So it, for me, it was all about taking baby steps, not forcing things, and make enough here to go to the next level, make enough there, go to the next level. And now I'm fishing Elite Series.
Yeah, dude. And that gun is part of the obstacle. That's part of overcoming the obstacle. Your father wouldn't have wanted it in any other way, I'm sure, because ultimately it led to this. It got you here at this moment. You know, hey, Bill, you and I have talked about it before. Jerry McInnes had told us both everything happens for a reason all the time.
Right. Exactly.
In life and in bass fishing, man. And that's a perfect example right there.
You know, that's what I love about you, man. You can take like the worst story ever and always find that like little positive note in the whole deal. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it really is, man. I mean, it's all part of it. It's all part of the plan, the Bassin plan, man. And you guys are here, Bill. You weren't supposed to win until now, Bill. As weird as that sounds, like it was supposed to happen now, Bill. That's how I look at it. You know,
I agree with you 100%. You know, everybody always says when it's your time, it's your time. You can do nothing wrong, and this was a prime example of that exact statement, because everything I did this week was flawless. You know what I mean? Every decision I made, every turn I made. So without a doubt, man, when people say when it's your time and you can't do anything wrong, dude, it's for sure. It's real. Absolutely. Without a doubt.
And that's something that when we witness these derbs, okay, these five fish, best accumulative weight derbs over 4 days, we kind of see that special moment. This is a weird way to, or a very simple way to put it, but that moment of victory. Like, we know when it happens that it was supposed to happen. Does that make any sense? It's like, as bass fishing fans, when it finally comes down to it, we know it was supposed to happen. Like when you won the derb, Brian, when you flipped that fish into the boat, you were saying to yourself, I hate this place. This sucks. This ain't the spot. I don't like this. I don't like blah, blah, yep. blah. You're whining like a little baby. And then all of a sudden, funk, tunk, bump, bump, flop on the deck with that old bitch.
Yeah. It really is. It's crazy. I mean, like, you know, everything does happen for a reason. I mean, like, say, I don't know, whatever. Let's say I would have been able to afford to fish, you know, a bigger level or as a boater before I was. Well, I traveled and practiced with Brian Thrift for 5 or 6 years. You think I learned some stuff? Yeah. Yeah.
Who's Brian Thrift? Do you know him, Bill?
He's that guy that bags them groceries down at the grocery store.
No, that's the Thrifty Mart, Bill.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's
that's the Thrifty Brian.
Yeah.
But, I mean, no doubt, like, things happen for a reason. Like, that at the St. John's, like, looking back, like, I had the tournament won, but I had no clue. Even when I caught what I caught, like, I still didn't think I was had it won because I was 5.5 pounds back, and I just knew, you know, Patrick and Hackney were both going to have 20. So, like, and I weighed every one of my fish. I thought I had 25 and a half, and I had, like, 26 something. I don't remember. But, like, I had been fishing all day, and I was catching them, but it kind of just, like, went dry. And I just felt like I needed to go fish something different. And I start just cruising down the river. And I was like, well, I'm going away from the ramp. There's an idle zone. I don't want to go any farther. It's late today, so I'll just stop and fish this. And, I mean, it was pads. It's what I've been fishing, but it was set up different. And I just started fishing it, but it was so, like I said, it was set up different. It was so different than what, like, most of the stuff I'd been fishing had been like a big flat with pads. Well, this was just a flat bank with like one row of pads, and I just wasn't feeling it. But I made that one more cast, or I made that cast, and then I said, I don't like this. And I was literally, when I got that cast in, I was going to go back up and go back towards the lake, and it said donk, and I jerked, and I catch a 5.4. I said, well, maybe I do like
it. Maybe you do like it after all, and it happened for a reason, man.
Yep.
I mean, amazing, amazing, and your guys' wins are perfect examples right there. Hey, let's do a little rapid fire. You guys want to do a little wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, rapid fire? Jin,
shoot me.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, now here we go. Brian, first boat. First bass boat.
Bass boat. It was a 8. I don't know. 03 bass cap.
03 bass cap.
I blew the motor up the first tournament that I had. And that, I,
no, not that you.
That was 2015 when I bought that boat.
Okay.
03 so bass. It had been sitting in the garage ever since 2004, probably.
Just blew it up. How about you, Billy? First bass boat.
I don't remember the exact year, but it was a Dynatrac bass boat.
Wow. Nice.
And I acquired that boat. You know, I installed flooring before I did this full time. Y'all know that.
Yes. You and Chris Groh.
We did a job for a guy, and that's how he paid us with the Dynatrac bass boat. That's how I got my very first bass boat.
That's freaking awesome right there.
I got to re-answer mine, though.
Okay.
That's my first bass cap, but my first boat was a 14-foot flat-bottom John boat that was the biggest piece of junk you've ever seen in your life. I had a paddle. Actually, no, I didn't even have a paddle. I had a 2x4 for a paddle, and it leaked so bad I carried a 5-gallon bucket. When it would fill up, you dip it out until it got about to your ankles, and you just quit dipping because it's going to be to your knees.
I think we all started out.
We had those in
the aluminum boat.
Yeah,
I had our first boat was a 16-foot Lowy with a 35-horse Evinrude on it.
Oh,
when
boy!
You said, "What was your first bass boat?" That was my very first bass boat.
Hey, Bill, what's the lure that gets you out of trouble all the time?
The lure that gets me out of trouble all the time is probably going to be a 4-inch flipping tube, striking flipping tube.
4-inch tube. Wow. How about you? How about you, Brian?
3.8-inch zoom swimmer.
Okay. Uh-huh. 3.8-inch zoom swimmer. That's a little swim bait deal.
Yep.
Okay. I gotcha. Okay. Look at that. Those are both your get out of jail free cards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't go anywhere in the country, even Florida, without that tied on.
Nice. Everywhere. And on a jig head, you ever Texas rig them?
Not really. I will, you know, rig it weedless and you know, put maybe a belly weight on it and throw it in the grass some, or like a flashy swimmer or something like that. But for the most part, it's mainly jig head.
Bill Lowen has a special swim bait.
Hey, I know. I know all about it.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I have them.
But see, I showed his ex-fishing partner, Brian Thrift, that deal, so he knows all about it.
I know all about it. I like that little line-through deal.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Hey, what's the best bass you ever caught? Brian, best bass you ever caught?
first cast on my 20, let's see, I'm 31 now, so on my 29th birthday, the very first cast I made that day, I caught a 9.3, biggest bass I've ever caught.
How about a bass that basically told you F you? Tell me about that bass.
Today, I went to a little honey hole lake in Oklahoma. The first, I only caught three, but I threw a big glide bait all day. I caught a 8-pounder first thing this morning.
Wow.
And then, I don't know, it was around lunchtime, one or so. And I don't know how big it was, but I was shaking, dude. It was the biggest fish that I've ever had bite my bait. It had to be a 10-pounder.
Holy cow.
Like, it dwarfed that 8-pounder.
On the Gloyd?
Yep.
Say the glide. Say it like Carl. Say it like Carl.
I don't know how he says it.
The Gloyd.
The Gloyd.
The Gloyd.
How's he saying it, Nevaeh?
The Gloyd.
My dudes.
Say it again, Nev.
I love it.
Feel my heart.
Hey, Bill, how about you? Best bass ever in an FU bass?
My best one I've ever weighed in was a 10.6 in Florida at the Harris Chain for one of our elite events. And
that's your favorite?
The best one I've ever caught was right at about 14 pounds. I caught that on the California Delta on a frog.
Wow.
My God.
Is that the derb that Byron Belvick beat you?
No, that was at Clear Lake.
Oh, that's at Clear Lake.
Appreciate that.
No problem. Thought I'd throw that in.
But if it had been in the event, I'd have had to let that fish go because she was hooked on the outside of the mouth. Weird law in California. But if I had to pick one that truly kicked my butt, would have been that my first year, rookie year at Sam Rayburn, that big one. Like I said, when I set the hook, she just snapped her head back and cut that line and said, "There you go, boy. Take that stuff and get out of here."
See ya. See ya.
Take that clear line and get lost.
Hey, what type of angler are you, Bill? You shallow water angler? Is that a dumb question?
I think that might be the dumbest question of the night.
Okay. What's I ask it for a reason. You'll see. Hey, right. I'm way dumber than I look. Hey, Brian, how about you? What type of angler are you? You shallow water or you run and gun?
I'm a junk fisherman.
You're a junker.
Yeah.
You're like a scrapper.
Out shallow water guy, then I kind of become an offshore guy, and now I'm a whatever feels right kind of guy.
And Bill, you don't ever go outside hardly, do you?
Yeah, I do when I have to, but boy, if I can stay up there shallow and catch them, that's where you're going to find me.
Yeah, I mean, and it's... Hey,
that wasn't the dumbest question. The dumbest question is when we were at dinner that time and I asked Bill what deep cranks he throws.
Yeah, that was dumb. I do remember.
I don't
you were
crank.
Like, oh, hi, nice to meet you, Mr. Lowen. What deep crank baits do you throw? And Bill's like...
Rebel, we are.
Yeah.
1.5.
That's deep crank.
That's like
dummy.
The time when Van Damme told you to go F yourself.
That was the same weekend.
Yeah, that was the same one. Boy, you got psychologically
banged. I was sharp that weekend.
Hey, I mean, you guys both exude confidence on the water. And Bill, I've witnessed you a lot. I mean, on and off the water, when you're feeling confidence, you get a little Bill Lowen sneer to you. You know, it's like a little, yeah, you're kind of doing it a little, right? I saw it happening right there. And Brian knew, he'll just flat out tell you. He's just like, I'm going to win. I'm going to win the Classic, and I'm going to win Angler of the Year.
I don't know about all that.
Well, I heard you say it. I heard you say I'm going to win everything, and you're going to win a Pulitzer Prize and an EGOT. And
I said that's my goal.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
There's a difference in saying you're going to do something and what your goal is.
Well, I don't know. I liked hearing that you said you're going to do it.
I hope I do it. I'm going to try to do it.
Well, damn straight you are.
Like, it's really all about making a living. Like, I don't care to be famous. I mean, yeah, I guess that helps you financially, but like, I just want to make a living, feed my family, doing what I love, and hopefully be able to help some people along the way.
Yeah. I mean, and slow and steady. Look at Lowen. His kids eat more than any kids on the planet. And he's managed to feed them for all these years, right? From bass fishing.
Yeah, but they don't have no new shoes. They got old shoes.
But plenty of food.
Right.
Yeah.
Priorities.
I like food.
Hey, why I asked you guys before about what type of fisherman you were is because I kind of want to get a little technical real quick here. And And I want to talk about some baits that are crucial to your success, okay? And I'd like you to get a little explicit and specific about this, okay? And the first bait that I want you guys to talk about is let's call them search baits, all right? So, Brian, you mentioned that swim bait. Bill, I know that you love a swim jig, a chatter bait, a crank bait, a spinner bait. I would consider all these search baits. Are you guys with me? You agree? Or
yep.
Just...
yep.
Okay. So, Bill, I need you to tell me something about search baits. Your number one search bait, and how it's important to you, man. How you put it to use,
man. I it's hard for me to pick one. You know what I mean? One certain search bait, because I got 10 of them laying on the deck. You know what I mean? I'm you know.
Yeah.
When Brian said he's a junk fisherman, I mean, I fall right into that category as well. I want all those tools laying there. So if I come up to a piece of cover, I mean, I might say I want to throw a spinnerbait on that, but I want to throw a square bill over here. Or I want to swim my jig through that water well. I mean, it's hard to really truly pick one because there's so many shallow water search bait tools that I have laying on the front deck of the boat.
Exactly. And you went right into why I'm asking this.
Okay, so I mean, it's really, really, truly hard, and I hate to say that I can't pick one, is because they're all so important. I mean, if you took one away from me, man, I would be so upset. You know what I mean?
And that you can't
for my flipping rods. You know, you hear me all the time talk about flipping a 4-inch tube around. It's because I can cover water really fast with that bait and put it in the cover and snap it around, and it darts and carries on and triggers a reaction bite. So even though that when you think of a tube, you wouldn't think it's a search bait. But for me, it is, because I can cover a tremendous amount of water with that bait and snap it around and get those bites that you might trigger with a spinner bait or a square bill or whatever that may be. So, man, for me to pick one, it's so hard because they're all tools of the trade. And I always, always, always have them all laying on the front deck of my boat. I don't give a care if it's springtime in the winter or in the fall, you know what I mean? They're always laying there, and man, I don't want to go without any of them.
100%. And that's why I asked that, Bill, because I thought this myself. There's no way I can pick one search bait. I'm thinking, right. Oh, maybe I can get it done with a swim jig. That would be one. But then I might want a spinner bait for something, and you know dang well I'm going to want a chatter bait for something. And then, of course, I need a crank bait. So all those tools in the search library...
yep.
Are always
there. And here's the deal, man. Here's where guys get in trouble. Okay. They get a bite on a spinnerbait, and that's what they are going to throw the rest of the day.
I've seen it a million times.
And look, I'm guilty of it. Brian's guilty of it. Everybody that's a bass fisherman is guilty of that because, man, we got a bite on it. That's got to be the deal. I'm that guy that I get a bite, and I always think there's a better mousetrap. There might not be, but I'm sure going to find out with all them tools lying there, if there is a better mousetrap, until I figure out that, hey, this is the deal. And I think a lot of times we get led astray by one bite, and the next thing you know, 8 hours has gone by, and here you are still throwing your spinnerbait when it might have been a reaction deal, but a swim jig would have got you 20 bites, and a spinnerbait just got you one.
That's right.
So, man, it's you got to have all those tools day in and day out.
The variety platter of search baits. And Brian,
I like your style.
Yeah, yeah, I know you do. And I've seen your deck, dude. You got a zillion. You're like your boy Thrift, man. There's a zillion rods out there. Talk to me about your search arsenal, Brian.
I'm just going to go on record here real quick and say that Brian has the most rods I've ever seen in a man's boat. I don't even know how he functions. I don't know how he gets around. I counted them the other day, and there was 23 on the port side, 18 on the starboard side, and there was 15 in the rods where you put them beside for your co-angler.
That's a light day. That's a light day.
His Marshall had line wrapped around his head. I mean, I was like, dude, I don't even know.
Oh my goodness.
That's true. That's true.
Take like a week to rig up.
Yeah.
They're always neat. it is very, very rare. So back, well, you know, I was fishing tournament, and still, like, if I fish a tournament that has a co-angler, like, I'm going to have 14 on the deck. I don't care what's going on. There's going to be 14 on the deck. There's going to be on 7 on this side and 7 on that side. And they're going to be flawless.
Times 3. Yeah,
you're bad at math.
At least. Yeah. And then, but there hasn't. So we've had 3 events. The least rods I've had out in the tournament this year has been 25.
Oh, my God.
And that's just the way it works. Just like Bill just said. Like,
how many do you break a derb? How many rods do you break a derb, Bri?
0. Wow. I mean, I've never. I mean, yeah, I've broke some rods, but it's like.
I mean, stepping on them or laying on them.
No, none.
Damn.
None. I'm pretty, I'm used to it.
You're
like,
agile.
Yeah. I'm anal. Very anal about my stuff. Like, search bait. I would build, man. It's like you have to have it all, but I'm not going to try to narrow it down to one. I know you asked one, but I'm not going to.
You can't.
A chatterbait has to be a chatterbait. You have to have a jig. I don't care where you're at, when it is, you have to have a jig. Jig's the most versatile thing there is. I can fish it in 40 foot of water. I can fish it in 2 foot of water. I can fish it in 6 inches of water. Swim it, fish it on the bottom, fish it real high. Fish it in the middle. There's so many things you can do with a jig. So 100% of the time you have a jig on the front deck of the boat.
Yeah. Swim it.
And always have some sort of crankbait. I've always got a square bill on, whether I'm fishing shallow or deep. Like, there's a chance that I'll be shallow at some point today. I like the Berkeley square bull. They've got different sizes for different ranges. So that's a bait I always have on. I always have a chatterbait. And I say always. I mean, they're like, if I'm fishing clear water, like, I'm probably not going to, but jig, square bill, chatterbait, that's probably my number one go to search baits.
The search bait arsenal. Now we move on to jigs and flip baits. So flip.
I got a jig.
Look at you. Flip. flip.
Hey, that's got a 3-0 hook.
He knows, too. Yeah, flipping. Dropping and dragging, and Bill Lowen, you love flipping.
5-0.
You got them all. He's got the whole arsenal right there.
That's too big,
Bill. That's a gaff,
right? It is.
That's the that's the bull shark gaff.
Yeah, that's what you hang sharks from when you're at the dock and they're sports fishing, showing off their big catch.
So so Bill, a perfect example. I mean, you happen to just win a derb on a drop bait, on a flip bait, and and you were flipping a rodent and your jig, your lure parts jig. How did you differentiate when to switch up? What was the deal with the switch up on the T rig compared to the jig in this derb?
You know, I just always feel like when you're fishing reeds and grassy type stuff, it's easier to slip that Texas rig through than it is to maybe try to force a jig through. I mean, unless you take that jig and bump it up in size to a half or a 5/8 or, maybe even a 3/4, where you can shoot it through there. But that ain't what I was trying to achieve. You know what I mean? When I decide, if I'm going to flip a jig or a Texas rig, it's always going to be about the cover. You know what I mean? I can slip that rodent through that cover and surprise those fish where I might have to force that jig through. Whereas out in the trees and on that hard cover, all you want to do out there is float that jig through the current and get it to go through that cover, not necessarily penetrate down into it. So that's how I decide whether I go with a Texas rig or, maybe a jig.
So the T-rig.
Especially last week.
Gotcha. Okay. So the T-rig is in general for penetrating cover, and the jig might be for combing it, more or less.
Yeah. I say that, but I mean, there are situations where you want to throw that jig as well. How about this? How about you should have both of them tied on all the time? There you go.
I mean, so basically it comes down to right now we've got 5 search baits tied on and 3 drop and drag baits, right?
Typically for me, I got about 12 or 14 rods on the deck, kind of like Brian.
Okay.
And 5 of those are typically always flipping rods.
5 of them are flip sticks.
5 will be flip sticks, and the other rods are going to be, that I got my search baits, my swim jigs, square bills, chatter baits.
Well, I got to know, Bill, I got to know this. If you got 5 flip sticks, to break it down, what's on those 5 five flips, Dave?
I'm going to have typically a jig of some sort, whether, you know what I mean, whether that be a 3/8, 5/16, whatever that may be. I'm going to have a 4-inch flipping tube always.
Before, like always, a Denny Brower always, flipping tube type always, thing?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Denny Brower used to flip?
Yeah, you know.
That type guy. Of flipping, like Denny Brower?
Yep, that type of deal.
Like a Denny Brower flip.
Like a Denny Brower flipping tube. Is that what you're
saying? Exactly.
Mean kind of like a Denny Brower flipping tube?
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, you're talking about like a Denny Brower flipping tube?
Yeah, like a Denny Brower flipping tube.
Not a Denny Brower flipping tube.
Ladies and gentlemen, we give to you Bass Fishing Galaxy. Give it up for the legend, Denny Brower. Yes.
Oh.
How you all doing?
Wow.
Big guns.
Welcome to the show, Denny.
Thank you. Good to be on.
Heck yeah. Hey, look, your buddy Bill won a derb.
I heard that.
Hey, kids, but, Uncle right. Denny's on.
Hey, look, get up here.
I already see.
Look, who
it is?
Hey!
There's there the kids, Uncle right Den. That's awesome. Hey, Brian New, what do you think about that? Here's the legend, Denny Brower.
He is. And I talk about this all the time. Like, I've been around Brian Thrift and Andy Morgan and so many, like, what people call the GOAT, you know, just extremely talented people. But there's very few people that like whoa me. And Larry Nixon's one, Denny Brower's one, and Rick Klun's one. And that's probably
I'm with you. I'm with you there.
That's a good three.
Hey, man, and Denny, you were sending old Billy Lowen some texts, weren't you? You had some special requests, didn't you, Bill? I mean, Denny, for Bill.
Well, I always like to offer Bill a little encouragement, but, you know, it doesn't hurt to go catch a big fish. And I just felt he was doing exactly what he needed to be doing, and maybe a little encouragement to go the right way. And, boy, he followed through big time.
He overachieved.
This is so cool. I mean, I'm like starstruck, you know what I mean? You know, I can remember Brian, like what Brian was talking about his heroes and all that. You know, I told Denny Brower one time, you know, that he was my hero, and he pushed me down in the mud and told me to shut up. he told me I was making him feel old. But what I was going to say was, you know, Denny years ago told me, he said, boy, well, you sure catch a lot of fish, you know, that 12-pound sack all the time. He said, boy, if you just man up and fish with some bigger stuff, you do a lot better and win a lot more tournaments, you know, and it's taken me, I don't even want to say how long it's taken me, but these last few years I started to listen to him because he's got a little bit of knowledge and it sure showed. And he's right, man. I mean, if you want to catch them big stacks, you fish with typically bigger baits, bigger jigs, bigger whatever. And dude, I apologize. It took me so long to listen to you.
You did a pretty good job along the way. Not listening is all I got to say.
Oh, yeah. You don't make it as long as you have not catching them.
Yeah.
You're doing something right.
Exactly, man. And I think everybody watching on that last day, when you told the story of Denny texting you, and said, Denny said, catch a 7-pounder for me. And, you one-upped it, man.
You got an 8.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, a lot of the fishing world doesn't know this, but Denny and I were practice partners before he retired. You know what I mean? So how cool is it to your lifelong hero? I mean, I can remember standing on the creeks on the Ohio River saying, I want to be like Denny Brower someday. And then for him and I to become practice partners, his wife, Shirley, and Jennifer to become great friends. And I mean, dude, that's like fairy tale type stuff. You know what I mean? That is like the stuffs that dreams are made of.
100%.
And dude, I'll cherish that for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And it happens for a reason, Bill. I mean, it does. That's all that beauty of this whole thing again, man, of what this is, the whole evolution of the champion. And here, three Bassmaster champions right now together on the screen. And Brower, the guy, the other guy, Brian New, rookie, just comes out and says, yeah, I'm just going to win. Get this out of the way with. Brings home a blue trophy right away, Brower, you know?
I watched him do that, and that was just an awesome performance. And, boy, I want to congratulate you, Brian. That's hard to do. People don't realize how hard it is to do later in your career, let alone when you're first starting out. Just awesome accomplishment.
Yeah, he got
thank
out
you very much. That means a lot coming from a legend. I mean, that sounds corny, but like it truly does mean a lot coming from somebody of your caliber. And I don't know. I know you don't remember it, but at the Coast or whatever it was called at Rayburn several years ago, that Ray Hetzman won, like one of four that he won that year.
Oh yeah.
I met you because we all three. I fished with Ray the last day, and you know, obviously y'all are buddies and y'all are talking, and I met you there, and that was a pretty cool experience.
Don't you still owe Denny $50 from that derp?
I don't think I do. I think that's good.
Hey Denny, now I got a request for you, and Bill and Brian aren't gonna like this, but
oh no,
yeah, they're not gonna like this. But Denny, if anybody can do it, it's you, and you kind of just need to call up Bass and call Bowman up or something. Call Bowman and say, "Hey, I'm coming in for the next derb. It's in Texas. I'm just gonna fish this one. It's me, Denny Brower. I'm a fish. I'm a legend." Exempt me. Exempt the hell out of me right now. I'm fishing. And
I don't know if that'll happen.
I guess you're Denny Brower.
You are Denny Brower.
You're Denny Brower, for crying out loud.
I would feel honored to fish against you.
Yeah. Everyone would sign that petition.
Yeah. Come on, Dan. It's in Texas. Come to the Sabine and fish the derb.
You get it all cleared, and I'll start right after the Sabine. How's that?
Damn straight.
Smart.
Damn straight we're going to get it cleared.
No. Done. If you're going to Texas, you got to go all in. You got to come through the fun one first.
I'll be the guy that'll swamp donkeys.
So maybe 2022, then? What do you think?
Yeah, or, you know, let's look at it in about 20 years.
about 20 years. Come on, Denny. Come back and win another classic just for the heck of it.
You know, I really missed being out there, especially watching both of them guys win their tournaments because they won them basically how I love to fish.
I saw them.
Some of the tournaments, you know, I enjoy watching, but not to the extent that what the performance these guys put on. It can be a little envious, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it happen, and you're no stranger to Pickwick either. You've had some satchels over there, sir. You know, so I'm sure Bill drew on a little extra Denny Brower inspiration there during that derb.
It's a neat reservoir, terrific place for a tournament. You got a lot of different options on what to do, and these guys were throwing a big curve during that tournament, and it was a matter of who could make the best adjustments. And boy, Bill, he had the right bait, but you still got to stay with where the fish are at, and he made the right moves at the right time, and it capitalized in a win.
He sure did. Hey, Denny, we asked the anglers that come on the show a lot, and we say, who did you used to pretend to be when you were fishing as a kid? And they all say, like, Fighter, he'll say Denny Brower. And Bill Lowen before, he said Denny Brower. And everybody says Denny Brower.
The number one answer is Denny Brower.
Yeah. 100% the number one answer is Denny Brower. And so, Denny, I got to ask you, like, when you were a kid, who did you pretend to be? Who was your pretend basser? You know, who were you out there being?
Oh, boy. Were there kids?
What's that?
There weren't even any bass fishermen when I was a kid. That was before it started.
You were like W. Perry or something, wasn't he?
Oh, Buck Perry, L. Lister, you know, guys. Dude, I'd go them at seminars when I first got started. So yeah, I mean, bass had been in existence for a few years. Roland Martin was out there, Bill Dance, some of those guys, and
you were like, I'm Homer Circle. Is that what you did?
Homer Circle, actually, dear friend of mine, great, great writer.
Yeah, absolutely. Has Homer passed for real?
He has.
Okay, I got you. I kind of figured he did. But, man, like, I read everything that guy ever did in Sports Afield, for crying out loud.
Yeah, he was actually one of the first people that probably inspired me in bass fishing just because there was very little knowledge. you could acquire back then. And he was one of the few outdoor writers that were truly writing about bass fishing.
Yeah, man. And I remember him writing flipping articles. So maybe that could have been the spawn of the Kindle of Denny Brower flipping.
It could have been, and then it may not have been.
That's true, too. That's true. But you were watching the Doodle Sockers and the Jigger Pollers. I know what you were doing, Denny. You were out there with the around the stumps with the 12-foot Jigger Pole and Doodle Socker.
No.
That wasn't you either.
What I first heard about flipping was when D. Thomas came to Bull Shoals Reservoir. I don't even remember the year for sure, but maybe like 1975 or whatever, and won a tournament flipping, and that's when I first read about it.
And that's
I wasn't even born then.
I wasn't thought about.
And you know why? That's Denny's the best for that reason. He's been doing it. Hey, Denny, to this day, are you still a tube flipper like your buddy Bill Lowen?
At times, yeah, tube's still an excellent bait. It's kind of gone by the wayside. And I think part of the reason is there's so many other options nowadays. It used to be we had a jig or we had a tube. And now you got all these different soft plastic baits, the whole Rage line of baits, whether it's, you know, the Rage Craw, the DB Craw, it just goes on, the different options you have to flip. So the tube doesn't get near the attention, but it's still just as good a bait as it always was.
Do you think for a flipper, and I'm glad you brought that up, Denny, for a flipper that because there are so many options to us that it just becomes a matter of confidence, like, okay, I'm going to flip the Menace, and you get on this little Menace kick, and then maybe you're like, okay, I'm going to flip that DB Craw, and you get the confidence in the DB Craw, and you're on that kick. Does it kind of become that way because there are so many options these days?
I think so. I don't think you need to try to use every bait made. You just got to look at the pool, look at the conditions, the water clarity, et cetera, and make a decision which one of those baits should perform the best. And hopefully you already developed that confidence in it, or you wouldn't even have it in the boat.
Yeah, but the truth of the matter is, like, go back to what Bill Owen was saying when you first came on, Denny. Maybe all we need is a tube and a jig.
Yeah, I think at times the more simple you can make your fishing, probably the more successful you're going to be. You get so caught up in trying so many things, you never, ever figure anything out. And ultimately, the whole secret to catching fish is fishing where fish are at.
Now, here's a weird question, Denny, and I'm sure everybody asks you your favorite bait to flip. And, of course, that's the bait that the fish are eating. But, like, what's a bait that you like? Do you... Let me just be plain and simple and upfront about this. Do you ever, like, just put, like, a Senko-type bait on, and you're like, gosh dang it, I'm have to flip a Senko at him and catch him? Do you ever get like that, or, I mean?
No.
No.
Usually I've got a few baits up. Bait through, and I won't change unless there's a real reason to change. I'll keep changing water, keep trying different things like that. But if I feel I got the right bait on, that same bait will probably still be on at the end of the day.
It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
Can I tell a quick story here, real quick?
Of course.
So Danny and I went to Lake Falcon to shoot a Strike King Pro Team Journal one year, right? And we started going down through there flipping, and I'm getting bit, and Denny's not getting a bite, right? And I catch one, Denny. I don't remember. It might have been a 10-pounder.
Yeah.
I think we weighed it, and it was right at 10 pounds or whatever. And, you know how fishermen are. I'm doing like, well, man, I'm getting these bites doing this, and my weight's not pegged and blah, 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 blah. And I'll never forget this. He looks back at me, and he says, boy, are you telling me how to fish? And I said, no, sir. And he stuck to what he was doing. I was getting more bites than him in the back of the boat. And like he said, man, you got to have confidence in what you're doing. And he stuck to what he was doing, even though I was getting bit. And by the end of the day, I shouldn't say this out loud, but he spanked my butt. he ended up getting a lot more bites than I did. And, that just goes to show you that if you got confidence in something and what you're doing, you can catch him out of a mud puddle. You know what I mean? And it was really cool that day just to watch him do what he did, even like I said, even though I was getting bitten behind him, which it's so easy just to change what you're doing. And he never did. And the show aired and I never had a single fish catch in the show. And I asked him about it. I said, how come every time I got in the show, I was either snagged in a tree or I was catching like a pound and a half? And he said, once again, boy, this is my show and I can do whatever I want.
That's right, Denny Brower. So we'll see you at the Sabine River in a couple weeks with the Bassmasters.
Oh, right now.
Hey, Denny, we know that you are a huge fan of the sport and we admire that. I mean, like, you don't miss a derb. It doesn't matter if it's Bassmasters, if it's the what the FLW is now, if it's MLF. You're watching the derbs. You're a fan of the sport. And I got to ask you this, Denny. I know you saw Brian win, and I know you saw your buddy Bill win. Give me something that you took from those two victories, something that you won, that you learned about the win from the win, Denny. Like, as I like a legend like you, you're always learning. There's got to be something you picked up.
Well, the biggest thing I picked up is that the sport's in awful good hands. Both of those guys handled themselves extremely professional on camera. They're a true asset to their sponsors. You know, that's got to make you really feel good about the future of the sport. And they're both exciting to watch in their own way, and they're going to continue to win. So, you know, it makes me understand that there was probably a reason I retired before I really started to get my, you know what, handed to me by
Well, I think you'd still hold your own.
he'd have done good at Pickwick, especially. Yeah, and St. John's. But, I mean, Denny, I know you're always learning still. You're always fishing. Like, anytime I call you and text you, what are you doing? I'm fishing. I'm getting ready to go fishing. I'm messing with tackle. You still live the life of a proper bassin' man every day. Every day.
That's why I retired, so I could actually fish more and fish more where I wanted to fish. And, yeah, I'm on the water 5 days a week, once in a while more than that. So I live in a place where there's a lot of big fish, so it makes it pretty cool out there.
Hey, Denny, will you ever come back to bass?
I retired not because I didn't love tournament fishing anymore. I would love to still be out there, but the physical part, I mean, I had 5 major back surgeries, 2 knee replacements, a total shoulder replacement. Had a heart virus. And, you know, I could go on and on about the list of reasons that I did retire. But it just become easier to retire than to play the game at 50%. And I always fished fish as hard as I could and try to win. And if I can go out there and practice 12 hours a day and really work hard, I just felt that it was time to retire and, you know, concentrate on enjoying life. Sport was awful good to me, and I had the opportunity to retire comfortably. So I took that advantage.
Gotcha. But you're Denny Brower.
Yeah, but, you know, when is the correct time to retire? Never?
I don't know, but you're Denny Brower. That's all I can say to any of that. I don't know. I think that, like, because I think that legends should be allowed to enter tournament or enter derbs like opens. Like, if Roland says, hey, I'm going to come throw today. It's Roland, you know? I mean, Danny, you come on in. It's a flip derb, cherry pick one, see how you do against the boys. If you want to go home at noon, go home at noon, get a pizza. You know, bring biscuits and gravy with you in the morning. You're Denny Brower. It doesn't matter. Just come out and flip. Just come out and flip with the boys for a half a day. You know what I mean?
Well, there's some of the events I would love to go to, but some of the other ones, you know how far Thousand Islands is from Del Rio, Texas?
Oh, God. I know people with planes. I'll get you wherever you want to go, Denny. You don't worry. You're Denny Brower. You're Denny Brower, for crying out loud.
Explain it to him, Bill.
We don't have enough time in the show.
Hey, I know better than to mess with Denny Brower. Last time, he called Jason Christie a coot on this show. And yeah. It was yeah, Jason wanted to fight you or something. I don't know what the heck was going on.
Oh, man.
But hey, I can't tell you guys how happy we are, Bill Lowen and Brian New, for your victories. And I can't tell you how much we are grateful for what you have done for this sport, Denny Brower. Thank you so much to these three gentlemen right here. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I need a fake screen. I can do it.
Well, I didn't hear that. Who was that?
That was Jennifer. She said, you don't need that fake screaming and clapping. She can handle it if you need her.
Oh, yeah. I know team screams. Got it. Jen's not shy. She's no stranger to the Stray Cast Show. Where are you at, Jennifer? Where are you at? There you are. Hey, say hi to Denny.
Hi, Denny.
Hey, girl. How are you?
I'm good.
Man, Bill, what do you want to say before we get out of here, Bill Lowen?
Dude, I'm kind of speechless right now. I mean, like I said before, it's still feels like a dream. I'm overwhelmed with everything. And, dude, it was so awesome for you to have Denny come on here tonight. Brian, congratulations, buddy. Man, I honestly don't even know what to say, dude. I'm lost for words.
Dude, we're so proud of you, Bill. We really are, man. And Brian, what do you want to say, bud?
Man, I'm right there with Bill. Like, it's the special guest is awesome. I mean, just like
and we tried to get
for me to be on something like this as a champion. And then the actual real champion and the new champion to be here. That's pretty cool.
Dude, like, you're all champions.
I mean, I'm on a show with one of my childhood heroes, with one of my new heroes. And like, for some reason, I'm probably two people's hero. It's probably my daughter and my wife.
Well, that's all counts, honestly. It's all that counts. Hey, and we tried to get Brian on for you today. We tried to get Thrift, and he was going to do it, but he's got horrible reception over there at Dale Holler.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. So we were going to get him on to just educate all you guys, but we couldn't pull that off. And Denny Brower, I want to ask you what you got to say to everybody in the Bass Galaxy before we get the heck out of here. What do you got to say about all this?
Well, the only thing I can say is I want to wish both of these guys the best of luck the rest of the year. They're off to a great, great start, and keep it up. A lot of times success breeds more success. And to all the fans out there, man, these are two guys you certainly need to follow.
Yeah, 100%. Well said. Well said.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, you are an ambassador for proper bassing. Bass Galaxy, give it up for Denny Brower, Bill Lowen, and Brian New. All of them are Bassmaster champions. All three of you guys. What do you think about those?
I got something for you. for a professional bass fisherman to be able to retire, that's impressive.
Heck,
because,
yeah,
like, there's not a retirement in fishing unless you make it yourself. And it looks like there's a whole lot of money in fishing, but there's really not. But to be successful enough to actually retire and still get to enjoy yourself, dude, congratulations. Like, that's winning right there. You won.
That's
right. You won the ultimate. You won life.
Let's give that up right there. 100%. Well said, rookie.
That's the carrot.
Jennifer. Yes.
That's the carrot on the stick for all the other bass
right
out there.
There's three words that sum that up, Brian. He's Denny Brower. That's all.
That's true. I mean, I'm glad you did retire, because me and Bill, neither one of us would have won this year, baby.
Hey, I got two words for you, Brian New. Mountain Dew. That's what
stay up.
Denny Brower, Brian New, Bill Lowen, thank you so much, guys, for coming on the show today. Appreciate it. Congratulations. Lowen family, kids, Jennifer. Yo, Fish. Fisher.
Let's do it.
Fisher. Hey, Fisher.
Come on, man.
What's up, bud? Peace. Yeah. What's up, dude? How you doing? All right. Hey, Lowen family, New, Denny Brower, take care, guys. Thanks again. Happy bassing.
Thank you, buddy.
Happy trails on the road to happy bassing.
Thanks for having me.
Peace. Thanks. Give it up, Bass Galaxy. Three champions in a row right there. Special guest star, Denny Brower. Holy shnikes. That's amazing. Unreal.
Wow.
Maybe Bill Lowen can get some rest now. Yeah, maybe Bill, I know he's been on tour like a rock star. Maybe he can get some rest.
It's awesome.
Yeah, he can finally get some sleep.
Yeah. Bill, Danny Brower just like dropped the weight in my boat by like 50%.
Yeah.
Because he said, if you don't have confidence in it, it shouldn't be in your boat anyways. And I was like, man, I got a bunch of stupid stuff in my boat.
100%. Look at Rick Clooney.
That's what I'm doing tomorrow.
You ever
unloading a bunch of stuff.
Let me give you a little inspiration right now. Go to Rick Clun's Facebook page and go back a little bit. And he shows the boxes that he brings to a derb.
Okay.
And he doesn't even use 3,700 boxes. What's the smaller ones?
Guys?
What's the smaller planos?
I don't know.
35s or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
He's got those.
Yeah.
So he'll have just a box of 3.5s, a box of spinnerbaits, a box of jigs.
That's it,
dude.
So like, he's going fast.
Got like 7 boxes, dude. Yeah. That's it.
Wow.
Unreal.
It's the way to do it, man.
I'm telling you.
Don't
confuse
yourself.
Condense. Yeah. And then, you know, you go. I see some other Bassmaster Elite Series anglers, and they got everything they own in their boat. Yep. So it's in, you know, who has nothing
Brian
in
New,
their boat?
20-something rods on
Yeah.
There?
You know who has nothing in their boat? John Cox.
Nothing.
Like nothing.
He's
like,
got Berkeley Generals.
He's got old pizza in his boat. Like pieces of old pizza in his boat. And then
sometimes
like.
Sometimes that works.
And then like sometimes he accidentally buys sugar-free Red Bulls and he doesn't drink those. They just roll around.
They just roll.
I drank those.
Whoops.
They just roll around. And by the way, special thank you to everyone at Bass for your hospitality a couple weeks ago to me at Pickwick. Man, you guys treated me like a king. It was unreal. It was crazy, like a poobah. You guys even gave me the shrimps, the cold shrimps with the red sauce. And I got to sing songs with James Overstreet and Corey Johnston. Couldn't ask for anything more.
Next time I'll get the hot shrimps.
Yeah, hot shrimps.
Yeah.
Hot shrimps. Living in a movie. Hot shrimps. Daddy's little cutie. Isn't that how it goes? I don't know.
Something like
hey,
that.
Hey, what are we going to give away? The Trail Creek bag by Sims, right? You can keep soft plastics. You can keep hard plastics. You can keep slices, dices, and it can even catch as mice. It's the Trail Creek bag by Sims. And all you had to do was like and share the live Facebook feed. And if you didn't do that, they're dumb, right?
Totally dumb.
Dumbo.
Real dumb.
What's Jay Kaz doing?
I don't know.
Is he frozen or did someone smash his pet mouse? You look like someone stepped
there
you
on
are.
Your...
Hey, his face.
Did someone step on your pet gerbil? Oh, there's Jake. He's smiling.
Something like that.
He's smiling now. Jake, you're from Jersey.
You're transferring from Chicago time to New Jersey time.
Oh, there you go. How you? What? You got to work in the morning, Jake?
Yeah.
You want me to call you off?
No, we're good.
You want me to pretend I'm your dad? Tell him you're grounded? He's got to make tiny boats with me. He ain't coming in. I'm making a boat for the Iaconelli. I can't come in.
He's got like 3 in the shop right
now. I didn't even sound anything like your dad. Did you notice that?
You're pretty close.
I'm Jake's dad. I build awesome boats. Jake, you look so happy today. You're making me happy, Jake. I want to squeeze your cheeks. Look at you. Jake, somebody won a Twin Creek. What's the name of that? Dawson's Creek. Somebody won Dawson's Creek today.
Twin Legs, Dawson Creek.
Somebody won Hot Legs, Hot Pants, Nasty. Hot Pants, James Brown, living in a city, living in America, Trail Creek Pants. How? Get in the hot tub.
4 liters
Cross
of dry
legs,
creek.
Pants Creek.
What?
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
I'm gonna Twin Trail legs? Creek Pants bag. Mine goes to 11. What do you got, Jake?
Who won the satchel?
Do you know who won, Jake?
There it is.
Oh, that's the music.
I got away from my fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
The winner is Ryan Williams.
Ryan Williams.
So close.
So because it had a W and an I,
yeah, a Ryan
but no
with
H.
A W. Ryan W.
It's Ryan Dubs.
Ryan W. won.
Ryan W. Williamson's. You won a Trail Creek Sims bag. Ryan Williamson, you have to be present. You have 30 seconds to claim your prize. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, 12, 30, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 30. Did he claim it?
No.
Ah, I won. Ryan, I need
just give it to the
Trail
the other,
Creek bag.
Ryan W.
Trail Creek bag. Ryan W. Williamson. Ryan Williams, you won a Sims Trail Creek bag. And thanks sincerely to Patterson Leith from Sims for his contrib to this beautiful prize pack today in this world we live in. And speaking of beautiful prize packs and worlds we live in, the we're pretty excited to have KVD's Line and Lure, Bautastern, and Armashield as a sponsor. And they have been a sponsor of mine since way back. I think they were the first sponsor ever for the Bass Buzz radio show, like 11 years ago. Isaac Moore, he was just a young apprentice back then for Rob Faddis. And Isaac was just a young, blooming scientist. And he scienced things and came up with Bautastern.
Went to the University of Science.
University of Science for sciencing things. It's by Harry Potter School. And he won stuff there, too, and won things and awards for sciencing. He's got all kinds of stuff on his wall. I saw a science award for bows and sterns and lines and lures and armors and shields. It's like Shields and Crofts and Carsons and Perrys and Scotts, and he won. He won awards. And Isaac Moore created the formula of the what we call Kevin Van Dam's Line and Lure conditioner. And you know who drinks that? Chip Goy.
Yeah.
Chip Goy drinks line and lure conditioner.
Guzzles.
Yeah.
He can't does, keep the kid off it.
Like, he's all hopped up on the line and lure.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've seen him do crazy things on it, like stuff.
Gave him memory loss, actually.
He's made bad decisions.
Just like the line.
He's made bad derb decisions on line and lure. He has. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen him do it. I don't know why I'm picking on the kid right now, but he's made bad derb decisions on the L&L. It's just for spraying. It's just for spraying. It's all it is.
It's not. It's the opposite of a performance enhancing drug.
Yeah, not for human consumption.
Yeah.
Not for.
Don't drink that stuff.
Don't rinse, lather, repeat.
You can put it under your pits a little bit if you're feeling a little.
It's rusty. It's a non-silicone based. Yeah.
And that's Chris Groh's shampoo, correct?
It is Chris Groh's shampoo.
So he gets a shine.
And ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever, I think we have the largemouth sassy pants herself. She is the queen of line and lure. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Megan Long. How are you doing, Megan? Yes. Hi, we can't hear you. Turn your volume on, Meg. Turn the button. It has a microphone.
Audio.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
What are you on your Boost Mobile network? Are you on the Cricket plan? Hi, Megs. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing good. How's line and lure conditioner?
It's the best.
Yeah, I know you're doing a great job. You run the KVD Line and Lure social pages on the Insta and the Bookface, and also Bautastern as well as the Armashield. So you're doing a damn good job, and you advise for or against the drinking of line and lure?
Do not, but totally put it in your hair because it's the same damn thing.
Oh,
right.
Okay, so it gives it a luxurious shine.
There it is.
So I'm just kidding. Really, don't do that.
Don't
really.
Put it in your hair. So don't lather, rinse, and repeat with the line and lure. You look so happy, Meg. You look so sassy right now.
Go, what do you mean?
Hey, so can you do me a favor? Like, go. Go under the screen and then so we can't see you, but then pop up and go spaghetti.
Oh my god!
Do that. Do it. Spaghetti. Do it.
You don't. You don't have
spaghetti.
To do that.
You ruined it, Ryan. Gosh dang it! Why'd you talk?
Don't do that.
Ryan's always talking when he. Do it again. Do it again, please. Can you spaghetti again, please? Don't talk this time, Ryan. You ruined it for me. Gosh damn it.
Spaghetti!
There it is right there. You startled me. That was it. Spaghetti. You did a great job. You're kind of like spaghetti, but not. But that's amazing. So, Megs, how do you like Line and Lure? How do you like working for Line and Lure?
It's a fun time. I like it.
Yeah, and you never
Thank you.
You never thought you would be involved with a scientist, did you?
No, absolutely not.
Like, it was kind of hard to like write home and say, Dad, I'm involved with a scientist. You know, I know it's a tough letter to write, but you did it, and now you're doing something for yourself. And here's what's cool about you: you're a bassin' gal. You're real about the sport. Like, you bass fish all the time, and we like that about you. And you have a Bill Dance tattoo, so that's what. Even though that you got it on a dare,
me.
Yeah, well, that's how, you would never.
That's how we're like this right now.
You would never be here if it wasn't for your Bill Dance tattoo.
It's true.
Don't let me kid you. But anyway, congratulations on your Bill Dance tattoo.
Thanks.
That's awesome. That's a good thing. So, Jake, do you think that we should let Megan give away some line and lure conditioner to some lucky viewer here in the Bass Galaxy?
I think we should.
Yeah, I think we should too. And Meg, how are you feeling? Like, what? This is your first time ever on a Bass and Talk show in the prime time. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
Yeah, you're doing well.
So,
yeah, we got the trick casting section coming up next, the segment, and you just have to put candles out, the flames on candles, and that'll be the fun part. We'll really test you then. But you got a prize winner, Megan?
I don't. That's why I was kind of just like...
Well, how do you not have a prize winner? It's been a damn, like, 3.5-hour show. What the hell's going on? You got a Pantera shirt on?
Producer ever. I just want to say that.
Huh?
You have the best producer ever. I just want to throw that in there.
Yeah, Andy's awesome. Yeah, he's got... Yes. And he's got red hair.
But I don't have a winner.
Why would you not have a winner?
Does he have a Pantera shirt?
Andy, hang up on her. Just hang up on her.
Was I supposed to pick it? Because you didn't tell me that.
Hang up. Yeah. Just dump her. Hit the dump.
Just go ahead, Jake. He's got
Jake,
it.
Who you got?
Jake's gone.
Oh, Jake's
you're
gone.
You're the line and lure girl. We're kidding.
Megan's winner is Nate Wallace.
Nate Wallace. You won. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. And, so all you have to do, Nate Wallace and JoJo Dancer. Who won the first one? JoJo Dancer? What was the person's name?
He already claimed his prize.
Oh.
Ryan Williams.
Ryan Williams. So they claimed their prize. And and this person who won the line and lure, what was the person's name? Larry Zonka? Larry Zonka. All you got to do. Is direct message to the Straight Cast page. And
Bob Golick.
It's Bob Golick. Hey, Bob Greasy, you freaking won. All you got to do is message shit over there.
That was Mike Golick.
That's Mike Golick, yeah. It's Mike from Mike and Mike.
Wait, what was the guy's actual name again?
I don't know.
Say it again, Jake.
Jake, what's his name?
Nate Wallace.
Nate Wallace. All right.
Nate Wallace. Hey, how's fishing in Louisiana? Better than Indiana.
Really good.
Yeah. Have you ever jacked a bigs out of hyacinth mat? Yeah, I've seen you do it.
Man, not a big. Nah. Definitely not a big. Like, you're punching for big ones, but it doesn't happen for me. I'm still catching dinks because I'm a dink master.
That's called the Charlie. Dink. Say it like this. Dink master.
I did. Dink master.
That's how Charlie Moore would say it.
That's Boston.
Yeah, she's from Boston because she parked the car.
Only accent I can do. I'm not Cajun.
Hey, Megs, thanks so much for your amazing work that you are doing on the Line and Lure page. Please follow Line and Lure, Bow to Stern, and Arma Shield, as well as Largemouth Sass on Instagram. And follow HuntFish 2345678910. That's Jake Haas. That's HuntFish 234. Jake, what's your lure company? Leading Lures.
Leading Lures.
What's the hot lure right now, Jake?
The Mojo Shads for striped bass.
Ooh. Because
freshwater guys, yeah.
The Mojo Shad.
That's the leading lure.
The leading lure of leading lures is the Mojo Shad.
Freshwater has Wojo. Saltwater has Mojo.
I like it. The Wojo Rising. Yeah, you got to keep on rising. Hey,
that's
Jake.
A Stevie Ray Vaughan shirt, not a Pantera shirt, by the way.
Oh, she's got Stevie Ray
Vaughan.
Close,
though.
I thought it was Pantera. Oh, I see. Stevie Ray Vaughan now.
Why Pantera would be cooler.
Why did I think it was Pantera?
I don't know.
That's okay, though. Hey, Megs, good job, Largemouth Sass. HuntFish234, Jake Haas, great job with you. Thanks for all the help you guys give Stray Cast and KVD Line in Lure. And congratulations to our winners. This evening. So at this time, that concludes tonight's episode of Straight Cast Outdoor Cartoon Television, the glorified version of a bass fishing talk show. And I'm your host, Pat Redwick. And as the still sea conspires in armor in this bass fishing universe, we invite you all to practice only proper bass and go F yourself if you don't. You know who you are. We do too. Hey, I want to remind you, we'll be back every Wednesday, except the Wednesdays that we're not here, at 7 p.m. Central. We'll be back next Wednesday with a guest you're just not going to believe. I don't know how this happens. I don't know how this stuff happens. But tell your friends. If your friends don't know about Straight Cast, tell them. Call them now. Text them now. Be like, hey, Straight Cast sucks. Or be like, hey, Straight Cast is awesome. Or be like, eh, it's okay. But maybe you should check it out. It could be better next time. Or best show ever. Hashtag LFG. Hey. What am I even saying?
Hashtag.
What kind of words am I saying? Thank you, Empire Covers. Awesome. If you need any type of cover for any vehicle or any toy, any big boy toy, EmpireCovers.com. I'll remind you, DoHookTheBigOne.com. Your chance to win 10 chances to win a fully rigged bass boat, 40 prizes. Oh, no, 10 boats. There's like 10 boats they're giving away.
10 of them.
Yeah, 10 whole boats. And then 40 prizes. Hey, I'm Pat Renwick. We'll be back next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central. Thank you to all our sponsors that make this show possible. We cannot do it without you. Yes, the bass is the center. And we're the hub. Straight Cast. Peace. See you next Wednesday.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Dance. No, just kidding. This is Pat. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Straight Cast on iTunes and leave a review. Tell us what you think. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. Thanks for listening. Peace!